In the world today, we're seeing a lot more violence and chaos in our cities. We see people rioting and looting stores, burning buildings and tearing down statues, defacing everything. Our government officials are allowing it to continue with no end in sight. And they say it is their right to peacefully protest. And it's okay for them to gather in large crowds. But these same officials say that churches cannot hold services, that there's a limit on how many people can attend and what they can or cannot do while attending. Can't sing hymns, gotta wear a mask. They require the churchgoers to wear a mask, again, and not to sing the hymns, yet they allow the protesters to yell at police officers, spit in their faces. They're not wearing masks. They're not wearing masks. No masks are required for the protesters. They can gather as much as they want, but they're saying that the churches cannot. There seems to be a double standard here. And it will only get worse as time goes on here. The handbook and manual for mankind that our Creator has given to us is being ignored. Absolutely ignored. The majority are not turning to the pages of the Bible to find the answers to their questions. Much of what is written in the Bible and available to all, since most everybody has a Bible in their home, but they don't seem to want to open it. But if they opened it, they would know. But right now it's unknown. They don't know nothing because they're not opening their Bibles. They're not reading the manual that God has given to us. Most Americans don't even know all the Ten Commandments. A survey that was by the Kilton Research a few years ago found that 80% of 1,000 respondents could name the Big Mac burger's primary ingredient, two all beef patties. But less than 6 out of 10 knew the commandment, thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not murder. But they knew more of the ingredients in the Big Mac. 12 beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and sesame seed bun. Remember that one? The Gallup published the results of its annual values and beliefs poll 3 years ago, and the responses were the most liberal that's ever been since they actually started this survey. 63% say gay and lesbian relations are morally acceptable. 62% say having a baby outside of marriage is okay. Unmarried sex, that's 69% approval. Divorce, 73% approve. People don't know our commandments. Guess what the least known commandments are? The ones honoring God. The ones honoring God. Actually, in this order, you shall not make for yourself a graven image or idols. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And the least known And the least regarded is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We are gathered here today on the Sabbath to keep it holy, as commanded by our Creator, God. Today, we're going to look at the most ignored of God's commandments, the Sabbath. The title, The Most Ignored Commandment. The Most Ignored Commandment. Let's review the fourth commandment in Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 8. In Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Eternal your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Eternal made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Eternal blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Let's look at this commandment a little bit closer. Remember. Starts off with remember. God asked them to remember His holy Sabbath day. As He is, He reminded them. Back in Exodus 16, He reminded them about the Sabbath once again, since it was lost. They lost the observation of it, the observance of it, while they were in Egypt, while they were captive there in Egypt. They lost track of the Sabbath day and everything else. In Exodus chapter 16 and verse 23, it says, tomorrow is the Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Eternal. They were introduced to it. Now in the commandment, they were being told to remember. Remember it. Keep it holy. Keep it holy. The Sabbath is holy time. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3, God sanctified the Sabbath day that He created. He set it apart as holy time. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Many forget this part of the commandment. Not only is resting on the seventh day important, but also that you work, especially if you are able to work. These protesters, they seem to have time to protest, and they're not worried about missing work. I know that some may be laid off because of the pandemic, but many of them weren't even working before all this happened. I believe that if they have the energy to throw bricks and to run around the city streets, that they have enough energy that they can be earning a living with a job. Many, however, are content with government support. Some are making more money on unemployment right now, so they are holding off from going back to work, blaming the virus for the reason that they don't want to come back. Government support is for those who are unable to work or those that are retired from their jobs. I'm retired, but I still try to do things around the house. Of course, my wife, you know, accuses me of just working on my tan and at the pool, but somebody's got to clean the pool and the sun's shining, so. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Eternal, your God. God tells us that the Sabbath is His. He created it. It belongs to Him. It is holy to Him. Jesus said in Mark chapter 2 and verse 28, Mark 2 verse 28, therefore the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. It's His Sabbath. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. belongs to him. You shall do no work. No one is to work on the Sabbath day, not even the stranger who dwells near you. This does not happen in our society. This society that we live in is 24/7 and it never stops. Everyone is too busy to stop and to rest for one whole day. Satan has our society constantly working and never finding time to rest. People even take their work home with them. Satan has gotten everyone to look forward to Friday night as a time to go out and party with your friends. TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. That's what they say. Saturday, if it's a day off for you, it's a great day to go shopping. Everybody goes shopping. It's one of the busiest shopping days. God didn't design that. That's Satan's work. This is the world that we live in. No one wants to rest for 24 hours. Most people that have heard of the Sabbath don't even know that it begins Friday at sundown. Christians who have been deceived into keeping Sunday as the Sabbath, they don't follow the Sabbath commandment correctly either. Now, and it's not just because it's the wrong day, because they would still go out and party or do their own thing on Saturday night and only spend maybe a couple hours in church, maybe two at the most, on Sunday, and then they go, you know, out to work, play golf, cut the grass, whatever they're going to do. They don't rest the rest of the day. They feel as though they have met the requirement and the obligation of keeping the Sabbath commandment by attending services for a couple hours. The rest of the time is theirs to do what they please. Exodus 20, verse 11, part of that commandment there, Exodus 20, verse 11, actually refers to back to Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Genesis chapter 2, started in verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts in them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God created and made. God did this. He created the Sabbath the day after he created man. Why? Why? Go back to Mark chapter 2 and verse 7. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God made the Sabbath for mankind the day after he created mankind. God the Father and Jesus, who created mankind, knew that we needed rest. We need a day to be refreshed, physically, mentally, and most importantly, spiritually. Our bodies will physically wear out if we constantly work every day with no rest. The mental strain on ourselves from working without end or rest would drive us mad. How many times at night were you unable to even fall asleep because you had work on your mind? What you had to do the next day. I know I did. I worked one time for 3 weeks straight. On the weekends too. I was exhausted by the time that was over with. God knows that we need rest, and he commands us to rest. But he also tells us that this is holy time. This is holy time. He knows that we need spiritual nourishment. We need time to reflect on all that God has done for us and to worship him. He gives us this time to draw closer to him in prayer and in studying his word. He wants us to assemble together as we are here today to hear and learn more about his plan and his love for us. He wants us here to build relationships with each other and to encourage one another. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, I'm reading the God's Word translation. We should not stop gathering together with other believers as some of you are doing. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. We have this time to share together. Some find it hard to believe that we actually spend 5 hours together in church services and fellowship. My neighbor is one. What do you guys do for 5 hours? What do you talk about? He can't believe that we would spend that much time. You know, he goes to church. He gets in. He's seen. He drops the money. He leaves. As long as he was seen, it's good to go. That's not the way we are. We have a special relationship with God and each other. We have a special relationship with God. He's the creator of all. How many people can say that we have a relationship with the creator of everything? And we need to maintain our relationship and improve on it. We definitely need to improve on it always. And God gives us the time to do so. We have opportunities to speak to God and study his word throughout the week, but we have even more time on the Sabbath to devote our time to him. We can relax from our daily work week on Friday evenings and have time to study the Bible more. TGIIF. Thank God it is Friday. Or as we say when we're blessing our Friday evening meal, thank you God for the Sabbath finally getting here. Thank you for the Sabbath. We can forget about work now. We can reflect on God. The world of Satan does not have time to rest on the Sabbath. But we must. The Sabbath day, it was set aside to remind us weekly that our Creator is the only true God and that he is vital to our relationship with him. It shapes the way we perceive and worship him. That's why he commands us to remember the Sabbath by formally worshiping him on that day. The Sabbath is a test for us, for those who belong to Christ. When God reintroduced the Israelites to the Sabbath day of rest, he used the gathering of manna to test them to see if they would obey the Sabbath commandment and all of his commandments. In Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4, then the Eternal said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. Verse 27. Now, what happened is some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Eternal said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Eternal has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you the six-day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. God used the Sabbath as a test for them, and it truly, truly was a test. Since this law and others were in existence before the commandments were actually given to the Israelites in Mount Sinai. Remember, they were just reminded of these things that Abraham and the patriarchs kept. God wanted to see whether the Israelites would really believe in him and really accept that God really meant what he said. Would they learn to trust him to provide for their needs and sustain them? Do we trust in God? The Israelites would eventually fail the test in keeping God's commandments, in keeping God's Sabbath. And because of that, in idolatry, God allowed them to be taken captive by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. One of the main factors is they did not keep the Sabbath. There are blessings for keeping the Sabbath, as well as cursings for not keeping the Sabbath. In Isaiah chapter 58, starting verse 13, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Eternal's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and doing as you please, or speak in idle words, then you will find your joy in the Eternal. And I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The Sabbath brings joy. Brings joy. The world right now could use a lot of joy. A whole lot of joy. We have rest and time to spend with God and the brethren. Another blessing. It is a blessing for families. Children's lives can be just as hectic as ours. We have time to share with them the wonders of God. There are many blessings we receive for staying faithful God's holy Sabbath. What are the consequences for not keeping the Sabbath? The penalty for breaking the Sabbath commandment in the time of Moses was physical death. But what about today? What about today? Ultimately, we face spiritual death. Spiritual death. You can just jot these down. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4, the soul that sins, it shall die. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. Jesus told us that breaking the least of the commandments, that we are guilty of transgression the whole law. And by no means is the Sabbath day the least. But if we break any, we have sinned and will face the consequences even in this life. The Israelites suffered defeat by their enemies for breaking the law of God. Others suffer because of our sins. Our prayers may not be answered. Sickness may befall us. The blessing and cursings chapter of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, applies to us today, as they did then. Our hearts may be hardened, and we may be easily deceived and lack understanding of God and His plan for us. This is all a result of sin, breaking the Sabbath, breaking any of the commandments. Ultimately, we face separation from God and our name blotted out of God's book of life, as mentioned in Exodus chapter 20, or chapter 32, verse 33. It also caused us to be cast into the lake of fire, mentioned in Revelations chapter 20 and 21. That's the ultimate spiritual death. We can't allow our hearts to be hardened and to be deceived very easily. Hebrews chapter 3, if you'll turn there, we're going to read a whole lot now. There's a lot here to be said. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Let us exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Once again, the hardening of the hearts. Verse 16. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And this continues on in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. It continues the thought right here. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word in which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do not enter that rest, as he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 4. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. There it is again. Do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Verse 9 of Hebrews 4. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. God's Sabbath is still meant for us today. It was not done away with or nailed to the cross, as some Christians believe and even teach others. This was a problem that the Apostle Paul was dealing with in Colossae. Paul had never visited the brethren there in Colossae. This church was actually established or was influenced by some of the brethren of Ephesus. He did establish, for a couple years in Ephesus, the church there, and some of these people were going back and forth to Colossae, and the congregation started up in Colossae because of Paul's teaching in Ephesus. Paul was in prison, actually, at the time that he was writing this letter to them. And he heard that others in their community were telling these new converts to not obey the things of the law. So Paul first addresses this in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. See, false teachers were telling them to keep the traditions of their people, their pagan ways, the way they grew up with, but it was even more than that, as I will allude to here in a moment. In verse 16, it says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. The church in Colossae was a Gentile church. There weren't a whole lot of Jews up there trying to tell them how to do things. This was a Gentile church. They would not have been raised by their parents to keep the Sabbath or the feast of the eternal God, or be worried about what they ate. Now, Christians will use this verse to attempt to prove the Sabbath is irrelevant and not to be kept. It would have you also believe in that it was just the opposite of what is really being said here. See, the people there in Colossae, they were keeping God's Sabbath day. They probably also was keeping God's dietary laws. They were keeping the holy days. But Gnosticism had crept into the church there, and they were being told that they shouldn't keep the Sabbath and the holy days in a festive manner. That was the problem. Not that they were not keeping the Sabbath day and the festivals, but they were doing it in a festive manner. And it is a festive time when we go to the feast, and when we get together on the holy days. Because Gnosticism, fun word to pronounce, wants you to feel bad about everything. You can't be festive. This was the real issue that was going on here. Paul said plainly, do not let no one judge you. Do not let no one judge you. They were doing the right things. There's others that were judging them. That is what was happening here. The issue Paul addressed is that Christians should not be criticized for observing these days in a festive manner. Paul cautioned that members should not let others judge them by those misguided ascetic standards and what they ate or drank or how they observed the Sabbaths or the festivals, the feast of God. The Sabbath and God's feast are joyful and a time to celebrate and to worship our great God and to feast as we do every Sabbath with our potlucks. It's a festive time. But there is another important reason why we keep God's Sabbath holy. God inspired Ezekiel to write in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 19. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 19. I am the eternal your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. Hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the eternal your God. The Sabbath was a sign between Israel and God. But is it still in effect today? Is it still a sign for us today? Exodus chapter 31, beginning in verse 12. And the Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Eternal who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Eternal. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Forever. For in 6 days the Eternal made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. A covenant is an agreement between two parties. It's a contract. What is the agreement here? Verse 17 shows that it is a sign of who God is. You worship me because I'm the creator, is what he's saying. How long does this last? Forever. Perpetual has no end. It's forever. If you keep the Sabbath, you will believe in God. We agree to keep the Sabbath, and God agrees to show us who he is. If we truly want to know God, it is essential that we keep the Sabbath. He's only revealing himself to those who keep the Sabbath. to sign. But it wasn't just a covenant between Israel and God, was it? We, the church, are the modern day Israelites. We are the children of God. There remains a Sabbath rest for us, as we read in Hebrews chapter 4. There is a Sabbath rest for us today. See, the Greek word that was used here for rest is sabbatismo. In the Greek English lexicon of the New Testament and other early Christian literature, we read Sabbath rest or Sabbath observance. That's how that word is translated. This word does not appear in very many pieces of literature, but where it does appear, it is well understood to mean Sabbath observance. As in these translations of the same thing, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, this is the 1898 Young's Literal Translation. There doth remain then a Sabbatic rest to the people of God. Hebrews 4, verse 9, in the 1965 Bible in Basic English says, so that there is still a Sabbath keeping for the people of God. Hebrews was written somewhere around 62 AD, well after the crucifixion of Christ. They were keeping the Sabbath. They were preaching that they were keeping the Sabbath. They were keeping the Sabbath 30 years after. It wasn't done away with. There is still a Sabbath rest for the people of God. We are the people of God. When Paul used this word, he knew it was well understood to the Greek-speaking Jews and Christians of his day. He had no question that it meant or still means keeping or observing the Sabbath day. He had no question about it. He knew what it meant. The Sabbath day is still a sign for us. It's still a sign for us between God and his people. Again, it is a test commandment for God's people. In this chaotic world, it is hard for most to keep, as they would have to sacrifice what is most important to them. They don't want to sacrifice what they do to follow God. They can hardly believe that we do. God's not working with these people. He will. Is keeping the Sabbath hard for us? It shouldn't be. It should be a joy. Time to look forward to refresh. The Sabbath and all of God's commandments are written in our hearts. They're in our hearts. They're in our minds. They're sealed on our foreheads. Sealed on our foreheads as a mark of God, a sign of God. Sealed in our foreheads. They're on our hands as we keep God's law and we observe the Sabbath. Our actions show that we are supposed to assemble on God's holy Sabbath. We're supposed to keep our laws. It's in our hearts, our minds, our soul, but it's on our forehead, sealed in our foreheads and our hands. We do not have the mark of the beast, which is against God's law. We are sealed by God, and we bear his sign. We bear his sign. One day, all of humanity will learn God's law and will keep God's Sabbath. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 23. This is the New International Version. Isaiah 66, verse 23. from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all mankind will come and bow down before me, says the Eternal. That will take place when Jesus Christ returns to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. We should all be praying that this happens soon.